I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Jeremy Dice of First Liberty. And we're going to talk about the issue of the coronavirus crisis and potential threats to our religious freedom. It's certainly understandable when some of the states or some of the officials say, okay, please don't have church services where people are congregating and so forth. But there are some creative ways that some pastors have allowed, for example, through drive-in church services where nobody would be infecting another person, and yet some of the governments are frowning on that. So that's what we're really going to focus on. Jeremy, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for being with us. And tell us your take on this whole, the way the coronavirus crisis is being almost used in some ways to squelch religious liberty in some cases.
Well, it's good to be here, and thanks for having me, Jerry. Yeah, look, I think what we're seeing around the country right now is that you have an American people who are extremely tolerant of the need to protect others. In fact, they're motivated out of love for their neighbor to mm-hmm. withstand a time of separation until it becomes possible for us to gather again in large gatherings. And so what we've been recommending to pastors and churches around the country is that they follow these guidances, these orders on no public gatherings of a sizable nature until it becomes healthy again. But here's the three things we've said. Number one, it's important for the church to continue to provide for the community and to serve their community. We need them right now, providing that care and calm during the midst of this pandemic. Number two, as they approach these orders on large gatherings, we remind them that the temporary nature of them is probably okay. Look, the state has to have a compelling justification to say that churches can't meet. And I think a pandemic across the world is going to meet that justification every single time in every court across the country. But at the same time, the governments cannot engage in sort of disparate treatment, meaning they're treating the liquor store down the street differently than they're treating the church, for instance. So our client in Greenville, Mississippi, for instance, because his congregation parks their cars on a church parking lot, they're potentially subject to fining or breakup, at least by the police department there in Mississippi. But a liquor store down the street, you can park on that parking lot without any problem whatsoever. That's unequal and unfair treatment, and it's against the law and against the Constitution. And then the third thing we've warned about, but we haven't seen, thankfully, too much of this yet, is that any permanent ban on gatherings is never going to be acceptable under the Constitution. About the only person who's come close to that has been Mayor de Blasio of New York City. And unfortunately, his careless comments came at a really bad time. And I don't think anybody, even in New York City, where it's really a hotbed of problems, is going to stomach that for very long. So my hope is that a lot of this has been just an unnecessary side effect of the virus. But I think one good thing coming out of this has been the recognition of how important our churches actually are.
Okay, now I don't understand the part in Greenville, Georgia, in the sense that the people are not getting out of their car. They're not interacting with other people. They're not even, 6 feet away. Or if they're 6 feet away or more, they still have their windows up, presumably. So in other words, the whole purpose of the ban of meeting in churches is basically being fulfilled through this creative way. So what's the problem?
There is no problem, except for the fact that the mayor there has decided to single out churches for special treatment and put a target on their backs. And so, for instance, last week in Mississippi, in Greenville, Mississippi, where our client is, our client met for their Thursday evening services. And while people were driving up there, now keep in mind, this is how they came. They left their house in their own car. They had the windows up the entire time. They went to park on the church parking lot with the windows up, doors shut, and were going to stay in their car the entire time while the pastor spoke out of doors by himself, 6 feet away from any car. So in other words, they're following all the CDC guidelines. But they were greeted at the church by the entire police force of Greenville, Mississippi. Now think about that for a second. The police were not coming to serve and protect, but to quarantine and threaten and intimidate. That's not the right use of the police force in this country, and it certainly is not the right use of any police force in any freedom-loving country whatsoever. And so the mayor's order that prevents churches from meeting as drive-in church services are known these days is wildly unconstitutional. Why? Because if the same car was parked at the Sonic drive-in or the liquor store down the street, it would be perfectly permissible. In fact, I don't know of any police officer that has surrounded the Walmart parking lot in Greenville, Mississippi, for instance, in a way that they did at King James Bible Baptist Church there in Greenville. And so these kinds of orders are just, I think, revealing the heart of some of these mayors towards the issue of religion. And it's not for all the protestations about how they're working to protect religious liberty. They're instead showing some hostility towards religion that is condemned by the Constitution.
Okay, now, in the meantime, what would you say to those pastors who say, hey, I don't drive-in church? You kidding me? No, we're going to meet inside the church. I don't care about this virus. God will protect us. And then some people have defied those kinds of laws and then, you know, had church services, and they're not following the guidelines that the government's given us. What are your thoughts on that?
This is a time for prudence, not defiance. God has given to us government for a reason, and I think it's right and proper for us to respect the role that government plays in our society, especially when it comes to public health. Because, you know, our churches need the government and its public health apparatus every bit as much as the government needs the churches right now during this pandemic. And so it's right and proper for us to follow their recommendations to the best extent possible. But where we get off rails here is when the government oversteps its role. And that's what we've been seeing more than anything else. I think the grand majority of churches and synagogues and other houses of worship throughout the country have been more than willing to make significant concessions right now during this pandemic. It's only when mayors like Mayor Simmons in Greenville, Mississippi, or Mayor Fisher out in Louisville, when they threaten to, as the mayor did in Louisville, write down the license plate numbers of every church member that shows up in a drive-in church that's following CDC guidelines and then is going to report them to the state and then force them into a 14-day quarantine period, that's when the American people, I think, rightly stand up and say, wait a minute, you've exceeded your right and just authority. You're infringing upon the authority of the church itself, and not only that, but our own individual freedoms. And you need to get back inside your own sphere of authority. That's right, and that's good. And it would be right for those mayors to recognize where they've overstepped, admit so, and move on. Regrettably, just this week, as a matter of fact, yesterday, the mayor of Greenville not only reaffirmed his commitment to the order that he's got in place there preventing drive-in church, he actually said that the only reason that police didn't show up on Easter Sunday at our client's church was because out of his own magnanimity, he didn't send the police out on Easter Sunday. So it's clear that our churches remain, our client in Mississippi remains under a threat of being intimidated and frightened by the police department there for doing nothing more than meeting under the CDC guidelines in a manner consistent with those guidelines on their own church parking lot. That kind of hostility towards religion is never going to fly.
Now, is there an actual case, or is it more like you are threatening to sue on behalf of the King James Bible Baptist Church in Mississippi?
No, we sent a letter last week to the Greenville City Mayor and recommended that he alter his ways. Now he did not respond to that letter yet, nor has he. I guess he did respond through his press conference, and it's clear now, and we understand clearly, more clearly than ever, that he's committed to showing discrimination towards churches and churches only. In fact, if you go to their website, you can find a picture there of a list of approved businesses and approved ones, what churches can do and what churches cannot do. And they say the churches can meet online, they cannot meet in person, in drive-in services, I should say.
Yeah.
Even though the governor of Mississippi has clearly defined churches as an essential business, they even say that the city of Greenville says on their website that they're not an essential business. And so I think it's probably going to come down to the fact we're going to have to apply the law and the Constitution to Greenville because they're not going to comply on their own.
And just so we know, is Greenville perhaps in the greater Jackson area, or where is it?
It's known in the area as the Mississippi Delta.
So it's close to what, roughly?
Truth be told, I'm not entirely sure where he is on the map right now. I'd have to go back and look it up myself.
All right, I'll look it myself. In some cases, abortion clinics, some states are saying yes to abortion clinics, this is an essential service, and then they're turning around and saying, nope, churches are not allowed to meet. That's very strange to me, especially, though, when you consider that with the abortion clinics, there has to be some contact of humans to humans. And I mean, you can't even get haircuts these days in many places because of the coronavirus threat. So what are your comments on the favor being shown to the abortion industry in many cases?
It's, again, another remarkable indication of the times that we live in where there's a high need for personal protective equipment that is being used on something that is defined as a choice. And if it were a choice, then I would have a hard time, I think, logically concluding that it is actually something that is essential. So again, the city governments need to be very careful when they come down to regulating church services. If in fact the state and the local authorities are going to say, well, abortion clinics can remain open to engage in elective surgeries, well, why can't a church that is defined as an essential business remain open in some manner, at the very least, to provide services to its community? That level of unequal or unequal allocation of the law or application of the law is not going to fly under the Constitution, nor should it.
All right, let me ask you a question. I mean, maybe this is, you know, beyond your purview or what you'd be comfortable discussing, but just throwing out ideas here. Suppose a pastor did not have any, you know, big parking lot, so he couldn't do the kind of the drive-in church idea, okay? By the way, when they do that drive-in church idea, how do they communicate audio-wise to the people? How does that work? Through a bullhorn? Or it'd be great if they said, okay, turn your radio to FM such and such, and then they had a frequency that they had. You know, I see at the gym, turn your frequency on FM to such and such, and you can get Fox News here, or you can get CNN, you know, with this particular frequency. How does that work, even?
Yeah, it just depends on the particular church. I think some churches are using low-frequency FM transmitters to be able to reach their people. Others are, our client last Thursday night, for instance, he just spoke really loudly, and people, and rather than saying amen, they would honk their horns, and rather than saying hallelujah, they would flash their brights, you know, in the parking lot.
Interesting.
But other times on Sunday, for instance, our client in Mississippi, he just brought out some speakers and used a microphone and projected the sound that way through the car doors. The point is that there's a way to be able to do this under the CDC guidelines, whether that's using an FM transmitter or just a really big voice or a microphone, to be able to do that while people remain in their cars, distanced for about 6 feet apart, you know, in some cases parking bumper to fender, and maintaining the time of the service in their cars the entire time, there's no threat to the community around them at all.
Okay, good. All right, so now suppose you had a situation where a church had no parking lot like that to speak of, and they didn't have online, you know, capabilities. During this time, would they basically be, you know, unable to have any kind of service, or how does that work? I mean, do you have any, are there any other creative ways that you know of? This drive-in church is a great idea, by the way. I understand that's the way Schuller's church started, as a drive-in church.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Robert Schuller started the idea of that back in the, I think, 1955, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of creative ways to be able to go about doing this, and I certainly don't have all of them listed on a piece of paper to read off, but whether that is, you know, making sure everybody is in different parts of the building or what have you, it's going to be difficult to comply individually, like in-person meetings. That's going to be very hard to meet right now until those standards are relaxed, but maybe there are ways that none of us have thought of yet, and there's some young entrepreneur out there that wants to take advantage of the situation to create a solution that maintains that community. Look, the point, I think, remains, and you and I see this implicitly, people are doing their level best right now to be able to maintain some sort of sense of normalcy and community in the process of this pandemic. And for states and local governments to overreach as they have and say that, hey, look, you can park at a liquor store, but you can't park on the church parking lot, it's pretty obviously wrong. And I think we're beginning right now to see why the left's vision of this freedom to worship, you know, maintain your church services, but inside of a virtual environment at your home, but don't bring it out of the public square, certainly not at your place of employment or at your school. That's not consistent with our idea and our ideals of freedom in this country. And I think when we get through to the other side of this, we're going to have a renewed commitment to what it means to be a free people and a people that love religious freedom in particular.
That's a super point. And it's funny that you had mentioned the freedom to worship, because the only people who talk about that is the left. And in this case, in Mississippi, the people don't even have that freedom. They have the freedom to go to the liquor store, but not the freedom to worship. All right, Jeremy, thank you so much for being with us. FirstLiberty.org for more information. And all the best to you, Jeremy. Stay safe.
Thank you.